United States Eventing Association's official podcast. This week, we're going to talk about rider fitness, and someone who has been focusing specifically on rider fitness, not only at a high performance level, but sending the message to riders at all levels, the importance of getting fit and maintaining fitness for riding, is Michael Pollard, and he joins me now. Michael, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a topic I'm very interested in, so I'm happy to add some food for thought.
Well, as I said, it's important not just for riders that are riding at four-star level, and you may be an amateur and maybe not able to ride regularly, so it's even more important that you have a level of fitness before you get on the horse. So let's get a bit of background from you for a start, Michael, and how this priority came into sharp focus for you.
Yeah, well, I've always been somewhat focused on fitness and had always thought of it as a priority. My father came from a strength training background and was also a personal trainer for many years. So that was ingrained in me from a very early age. Also, when I trained at Denny Emerson's, he was very adamant about rider fitness, and he had the example of Walt Gervais, who had been very fit all of his life and who rode in his first one star, I think, at age 73. And so it's something that I'd always, you know, from many different levels of my riding career and trainers that I've worked with, is always something that's been brought home and been an effective, you know, an important part of the overall plan. But when I decided that it was something that I needed to even focus more heavily on than I had thought previously, was when I rode Shinscreen Honey at Galway Downs 2 years ago, and following that event, following the cross country there, she required, you know, pretty strong ride. And not that she's doesn't go forward, but she's, you know, a pretty heavier warm blood horse and needed, you know, quite a lot of leg all the way around the course. And I just finished, and I was just exhausted, and really I was out of wind, you know, 9 or 10 minutes in, and still had a minute and a half to go. So I decided that was never going to happen again, that it was completely ridiculous to be struggling that badly as the rider when I wasn't even the one that was having to run most of the distance. And I also felt like that it was probably a disservice to the horse, who we asked to do so much, for me not to be my very best at the end of the course when they need it most. So from, you know, that weekend on, I basically started, when I got back home, I was already, you know, doing some sort of circuit training and things 2 or 3 days a week. But after that, I decided that it just wasn't enough, and I started adding to my circuit training 3 days a week of some sort of interval sprint training that overall took about 20 minutes of time, but really to increase my wind. And basically I've been doing some sort of exercise 6 days a week since then, and you know, it's continued to make big improvements for me, both in, you know, my initial goal was just, as I say, to have a little bit more stamina on cross country on a horse that, you know, needed a little bit more of an active ride, but I've noticed a huge amount of other benefits, you know, including more energy in the day. I'm riding a lot of horses now, and I'm, you know, if I ride a bunch of horses in an event, I'm not really ever tired. Certainly if I've, you know, I still fall off and things, and I feel stronger. And if I have a fall, I'm not as sore afterwards. I mean, you know, many other benefits that I didn't necessarily think about at the time, have certainly come up. And honestly, I just feel tighter and stronger and more ready for anything to happen in the saddle. So, you know, I really can't emphasize enough how much of difference it's made. And I was already somebody that was fairly fit and active anyway. So, you know, I can imagine if you're only riding, you know, a horse a day, or even not even getting to ride every day, that being physically active and fit, you're even going to see a much bigger improvement than I did, I would think.
We hear a lot about riders taking up Pilates as one form of strengthening the core muscles, which of course is so important for riders.
Yeah.
We also hear a lot about cross training. People like George Morris, who is now well into his mid-70s, is riding like a 40-year-old because he's maintained that level of fitness by going to the gym every morning at 5 a.m. He's in the gym. And we hear of the cross-training examples such as Adelinda Cornelissen, the Dutch Grand Prix dressage rider, of course. She has been trying all kinds of other different sports, Michael. So where would you steer riders to begin in terms of getting some cross-training? Is it Pilates? Where would you begin their regime?
Well, I think everybody's got to find what works for them. I started with doing some circuit training that was fairly high intensity, and then added running to it. And then over time, I realized that really what I tried to you know, the newest fitness craze, they say. But anyway, I've been doing CrossFit for about a year and a half now, which incorporates all different types of gymnastics and Olympic lifting, and but all at high intensity. So essentially, you're trying to get a maximum a cardio workout while you're also doing some lifting and stretching and other things as well. And that has been extremely effective for me, but that's not for everybody. You know, there are people that don't want to, you know, be quite as extreme as maybe CrossFit is. So, you know, you can do plenty of things just with your body weight and the will to do it. I think the one thing I would say is that, you know, the standard model of going to a gym, you know, 3 days a week and just, you know, basically getting the time in and not really making your heart beat fast enough is sort of pointless for everybody. I think that essentially you have to come up with something that you can legitimately do. I mean, honestly, if you really want to see a decent result, of course, 3 days a week is better than no days a week, but really you need to do something 6 days a week and just make it part of your life. And it doesn't have to take that long. You can take 20 or 30 minutes a day and get plenty done. But you have to find a way to get some high intensity training every single day and with one rest day. And then you'll see a result that will keep you doing it because, you know, it's just like eating your breakfast in the morning. If you find a time that works for you and you can make it happen every day, you'll see such good results and you'll feel better. I mean, in my experience is anyway that the people that have done it in our program, they feel so much better. They would never consider not doing it now. So, you know, I think that there are lots of ways that can work, and there are a lot of people that have, you know, certain injuries and things that they can't do everything. I think the key is to find some sort of program that works for you. I think that there's several, that if you want to do something at home, like, you know, in the Insanity or P90X, I mean, these things are certainly really good ways to start and
can you explain what those are? Yeah. Michael, could you explain?
Yeah, P90X is and Insanity are both sort of you know, CD based, you know, DVD based training programs that are geared for a 5 or 6 day a week program, and they're really geared more for like 90 days to really see a big improvement in 90 days, and they're based on doing, you know, sort of high intensity training for a shorter period of time, resting a little bit, and then doing something else high intensity. And, you know, I think that's sort of listening to most of the experts now, that's a way of really seeing the best results and burning the most fat, having the best metabolic response. So, you know, I would certainly, if somebody wants to be serious about their program, but they can't go to the gym, or they don't want to go to a gym, I mean, that's certainly a good way to do it. Or if you feel like you need the accountability of some sort of class, then certainly I've loved doing the going to CrossFit, and I would recommend that to anybody else that either wants to have something that really changes all the time or wants the accountability of going to a class. I mean, as I say, that there are many, many ways of getting fitness into your life. The key thing is just starting and making it an everyday habit, and I really find that the more often you can do it, if you just have to make yourself for 30 days, go 6 days a week, and you will see such an improvement that it will be very hard to stop after that. And once you can make it a habit and it becomes an integral part of your life, then you know, it's something you can maintain. It doesn't seem so ominous anymore.
And it does become addictive, doesn't it? Once you get to a point or a level in your fitness that, you know, it's not such a strenuous exercise, but you become addicted to the energy that it gives you.
Yeah, for sure. And it may, I mean, it really does make such, I mean, if you really are the kind of, you know, the person that's really serious about your riding, you see such a difference in the quality of what you can do on the horses and what you're giving them. And I mean, it's just like, you know, it's really no different than the horses. I mean, you know, we expect them to exercise every day. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because they're an athlete, and you know, we wouldn't ask them to do what we ask them to do if we didn't exercise them every single day. And it's the same thing with us. I mean, while we may think that that we're not as active as the horse actually doing the event itself, you've got to, it's as much about injury prevention and things like this as and being your best when the horse needs you. So for me, it's, you know, for an eventer or someone that's serious about horse sports, it should be easy to see that you know, you couldn't ask a horse to be super competitive doing something 2 or 3 days a week. Is exactly the same for us. I mean, you in order to get something out of it, you've got to put the time in, just like you would expect a horse to do.
And we should point out that this is not gender specific. I mean, I'm sure people are thinking, well, I couldn't keep up the program that Michael does, but I think anybody can do whatever fits their schedule, of course. But the questions are how frequently and what type of exercise. So do you rotate between cardiovascular and weight-bearing exercises and say, Pilates types? Give us a sense of what a program looks like for you.
Well, mine's crazy because I am trying to be an elite athlete, and I'm trying to train myself in the same way that, you know, an elite gymnast or an elite runner, you know, I'm trying to train myself at a very, very high level. So CrossFit for me is the way that I do that. And I actually supplement a daily CrossFit workout with some additional stuff at home later. I don't think that's necessary for everybody, but for the level that I'm trying to reach, I feel like that's what gives me the best opportunity to be successful. But certainly, you know, I think that often as riders, we think, oh, if I just go for a run in the afternoon, that's going to be enough. But really, that's not enough. You know, to really do the best for your horse, you've got to incorporate some sort of strength training, not only because it makes you stronger, but it also strengthens the muscles that you otherwise wouldn't strengthen. And for example, I was watching a program the other day on the rowing team, and you think, oh, that's a very strength-heavy sport, and so they must do a lot of additional rowing off the when they're actually off the water. And but a lot of what they do is strength training-wise is strengthening the front of their body, because they find that their muscles are so built behind that they were having injuries because they weren't properly proportioned. You know, they didn't have enough strength in the front, and so they were having injuries because the back muscles were stronger and pushing things out of balance. And I think that that's a similar thing that can happen with a lot of riders, is that we have overabundance of certain muscles and or maybe are weaker in other areas. And so doing some strength training, but then also making sure with your strength training that you're having very good range of motion and that you're doing a lot of stretching before and after. The other thing that's difficult about riding is that you know, a lot of strength is in a sort of static position, and you're trying to stay as still as possible while at the same time, of course, moving with the horse. But you know, the best riders are those that move probably the least in a lot of cases. So that creates a certain amount of tightness that then if you have a fall or something happens, you're much more likely to pull or stretch something. So you've got to use the muscles, of course, that you're using for riding, but then think about what you're not using in your riding and make sure that those areas are strong as well, so that when something comes up that you're able to do it. But to me, what works the best is to do something. The reason I say CrossFit or P90X or Insanity or something along those lines is because they're incorporating strength training and cardiovascular fitness together at the same time, and it's more real world. So when you're riding your horse on cross country, you're using your muscles, and you maybe get tired or fatigued from your muscle, but at the same time, your heart's beating pretty fast, and you're also tired. So I'm trying to simulate that. So when I'm training, so I'm doing something that requires muscle strength, but at the same time is raising the heart rate, and is at an intensity level that sort of matches the level of intensity that goes into cross country riding. There have been several studies recently that have worn heart monitors when they're riding cross country, and even fit people end up with their heart rate, you know, up to 180 beats per minute. And if you're not used to being in that zone, it's very easy to let your mind, you know, your mind does funny things at that sort of heart rate. So I think it's important to train in a way that that's going to create cardiovascular fitness, but at the same time is using strength. And you know, there are lots of if somebody wants to figure out how to do that, there are lots of good programs that can.
When you mentioned there how your increased heart rate does affect the mind, and it's important to note that the fitter you get, the better you are mentally too. You're more capable, you're sharper mentally, more alert, and you don't get that mental and emotional fatigue that you would have if you're not physically fit.
That's absolutely true, and there are many, many studies that have shown that. The other big benefit, especially for those of us that are trying to get horses to an international level of fitness, is that I've really been amazed at how much differently I think about the horse's fitness since I've essentially attempted to get myself to that same level of fitness, sort of an elite level of fitness. And there are a lot of things that when you ride a horse hard, the next day you think, oh, they're not being XYZ, whatever the thing is, they're not as good as they were yesterday. Well, if you make yourself properly sore by exercising, you can understand, how things work a little bit differently and how you may need to adjust your training, so that you're not, for example, I've changed the way I do some of my canter sets, and leading up to Poe, I did a lot more shorter, quicker gallops up hills with more repetitions and not actually stopping as much, just keeping trotting so that they had sort of an active recovery versus a true letdown and rest. And it's amazing how when you really push yourself and you start to learn about your own body and how it responds and how it adapts to a certain type of training, while a horse's physiology is not exactly the same as a human's, I think it certainly gives you more empathy and you understand what the horse is having to go through and therefore can probably make yourself a better trainer of the horse. Certainly having empathy for being a horse trainer is a pretty important thing in general, and fitness shouldn't be any different.
And what have you applied to your own diet, Michael? Do you have a strict nutritional regime as well?
Yes, very. Because obviously for riding, weight is such an important factor as well. I'm fairly lucky that I was built in a way that I'm not that tall, and I'm not a very big boned person, so I'm naturally fairly light. But still, it's hugely important. If you're going to exercise every single day, that already is going to burn a lot of calories. But you need to you need to fuel yourself with the best possible fuel. And for me, that is a fairly simple thing to live by. I mean, for me, I basically try to stick with lean meats. So any sort of lean protein at most meals. Certainly, I try to eat 4 or 5 times a day versus just having 3 big meals. I find that also works better when you're riding a lot of horses because you don't really ever get that sort of after-meal glut where you feel tired. I try to stick with a lean protein at every meal, a vegetable at every meal, and then sort of intermittently during the day snack on fruits and nuts. And then I'll eat bread as long as it's sort of a wheat bread. And honestly, I pretty much have stuck completely with sprouted grain bread now, which is again a little bit extreme. But essentially, if you can try to stay as much away from unnatural sugars and or refined sugars, and pretty much stick with lean proteins and have a vegetable at every meal, you're doing as well as you need to be doing. Essentially, that you can there are probably a billion books that have been written on nutrition and lots of different theories. That has worked extremely well for me. I've actually been on that sort of an eating plan for probably 6 years now, and I haven't really adjusted it a whole lot since I've been exercising more, and I still have plenty of energy, and it's done well to fuel what I want to do. So, but certainly, for a lot of people that will want to shed pounds and things like that, you will see improvement just with the exercise, but it really is the combination of exercise and a good meal plan that makes a difference.
How about dairy products and energy bars and caffeine? Are they a yay or a nay?
Well, everybody, again, there are a lot of people that have different theories. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm the world's leading expert, but I can only tell you what has worked for me. And I like milk too much to give it up, so I basically have skim milk, and I've probably drink more than anybody I know of skim milk. I try to stay away from cheeses because it just adds too many calories to most things, and it's just too easy to like it. So skim milk is about the only real dairy that I do. Energy bars, you have to be careful because they have so many that are just loaded with sugar to make them taste good. I'm a fan of, having said that, I probably have at least one energy bar a day. I've gone, I really, really like the Clif bars because they often have, you know, a very natural source of sweetener if they have sweetener in them. So, but again, there are lots of different theories, lots of different people. If you're going to have coffee, and again, I am a coffee drinker, that's absolutely fine. There's actually quite a few studies that show that caffeine is quite good for brain function. I mean, anything, like anything, you've got to keep in mind that it is essentially a drug, so you have to be careful with it. Too much of anything is probably not good. Moderation is always key. But, you know, I try to do basically a couple espressos and a skim milk. And then that is one place that I will put some sugar because, you got to live somewhere. So, but if I could avoid it, I would. It's just there are just some things that I just have to do. So I'm saying to everyone, that's my sin. You can choose your own. If you don't like sugar then in your coffee, then more power to you.
Well, of course, the other final question, beer, wine, or spirits, Michael? Are they allowed?
Yeah, but there are good choices that you can make there, too. First of all, no matter who you are, consistent heavy drinking is not a good program for exercise. And if you're exercising every day, I promise you, you'll probably want to drink less. Because it's awfully painful when you have to get up in the morning and you've had too much to drink the next day. So if you're making exercise your priority, naturally you will probably consume less alcohol than you would have otherwise. Having said that, I'm all for having a glass of wine. I think probably if you're looking for low calorie options, apparently a glass of champagne is pretty equal to like a vodka tonic or for those that are gluten intolerant, tequila with like club soda is supposed to be a good option. None of those sound all that appetizing to me, so I try to stick with a glass of champagne or a glass or two of red wine at night. Though, as I say, even a couple glasses, as much as I've gotten to the point where I do my workouts at 6 in the morning, so even one or two glasses don't feel so great for me these days, so I try to limit it, but like everybody else, I can enjoy a nice glass of wine as well. So, again, probably moderation is like the coffee with the alcohol is probably the best approach.
All things in moderation. Well, obviously, you're getting super fit, Michael. I want to thank you very much indeed for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts on a fitness regime and nutrition too. And thanks so much, and good luck for the season, Michael.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I guess the main point that I really want people to take away is that it's really if you just give it 30 days, just take a month and try to do something every single day or 6 days a week for a month, and you will really make a big difference. By the end of that month, you will see a big difference in your riding. So I would encourage people to try that as a place to start, and then see where it takes you.
Great, thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
This podcast is also available for download on iTunes. Visit the website at useventing.com for more information. I'm Chris Stafford, and until the next time, enjoy your eventing.